Pastor Carrie Passott is our guest speaker this morning. She is a gifted communicator. She has a heart for souls. She is a multitasker. She does not have five fingers. She has 50. And she just is a girl that knows how to get things done. But she does it because the kingdom of God has order. And God is wanting to establish. And when you get things in order, God can multiply and increase. But not only does she do that, but she cuts the word with a sharp edge. And I know it's going to pierce your heart this morning. Would you put your hands together? Welcome, Pastor Carrie Passott.
Thank you, Pastor Sue, and the team that is here at Well Ministries. You always do things so well. It's always a joy to be here. And so thank you for having me today. It's good to see so many familiar faces. I had a conversation with someone before brunch today, and it's been at least a decade since we've connected. And so it's good to be among friends and family here. A few months ago, we had a women's conference in the city back in the fall, and I had the opportunity to share just for a few moments there. And I talked about one of my least favorite passages of scripture. It was the passage of Mary and Martha when Jesus came to their house, and I shared how I really didn't like that. And so I thought today I'd mix it up and I'd share a passage of scripture that has meant a lot to me. I don't know if you're here today and you have a life verse, you know, a verse that has kind of been your theme through your life. It's a passage maybe that you go back to over and over again. Anyone here, you kind of have say, like, yeah, I got a life verse. Do you know what? There are lots of you put your hands up. Do you know what? Let's just take 2 minutes around the table, and I want one or a few people to share your life verse. And maybe you're here and you're like, do you know what? I don't know any scripture. Well, maybe you have a saying or a motto, something that has kind of guided your life. Maybe it's something that your own mom or your grandma or an auntie said to you that has kind of stuck with you. So I am going to set a timer because I know as women, once we start to talk around the table, we could be here all day. So 2 minutes on the timer. They got me a little countdown clock. Just around your table, just share, you know, what your life verse has been, a favorite passage of scripture or something that has kind of guided you in your journey through life. On your mark, get set, go. Okay, I'm going to get you to bring it back. You know, so I didn't think that I had a life verse until I began to pray about what I was going to share today. And this event was the Legacy Brunch. And so I was contemplating that word legacy. And as I was doing that, you know, there's been portions of scripture that have been important to me, like Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, that says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And upon it, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. You know, that those verses have meant something to me, but I was like, yeah, I don't really think that's my life verse. And then Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, that says, you know, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself of no reputation and he humbled himself and became a servant and was obedient even to death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name, that the name of Jesus, every one in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow their knee. You know, those verses have been powerful to me, but I was like, yeah, you know, not really my life verse. And then I was reminded of a passage of scripture. And I had this like aha moment where I was like, you know what, that's it. This is my life verse. Now, this verse is a pretty obscure passage of scripture, and I pretty much can guarantee that it has never appeared on like the top 10 verses of the Bible, or you're like, you know, those lists sometimes like the 100 promises of God. This verse doesn't appear on it, but when I think about my life, this really has molded the decisions that I've made. And every major life decision, this verse has been part of what has influenced me in that decision. And so I'm going to share this scripture with you today. And this verse probably has never been preached at a ladies' brunch before. I shared it with my daughter yesterday, and she was like, Mom, But just stick with me. Stick with me. We will get there. And so this verse is found in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 18. And it says this. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and set up a pillar for himself, which is in the king's valley. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. He called the pillar after his own name. And to this day, it is called Absalom's Monument. I know. It's not the typical life verse. In fact, this is probably one of the most depressing verses in the Bible, because it talks about this man named Absalom who in his lifetime built a monument to himself in the Valley of the Kings because he had no sons to carry on the memory of his name. Now, I'm going to just like lay a little foundation here. I just give a bit of background on this man named Absalom. And so Absalom was a son of King David. So King David, the beloved king of Israel, he was actually King David's third son. Some scholars believe that he was actually David's favorite son, that this is who David loved more than all of his other children. He was very handsome. In 2 Samuel chapter 14, verses 25 to 26, it says this. Now, Absalom was praised as the most handsome man in all Israel. He was flawless from head to foot. I mean, that's very high praise, flawless from head to foot. He cut his hair. Listen to this, ladies. He cut his hair only once a year, and then only because it was so heavy. When he weighed it out, it came to 5 pounds. I know. Don't you wish you had hair like that? I wish I had hair like that. And Absalom's name, when David named Absalom, he chose the name because it means peaceful or father of peace. And yet, even though that was Absalom's name, that's not the life that Absalom lived. He lived a life of war. Absalom, when he was a young man, he actually killed his half-brother because his half-brother had raped his sister, and Absalom had to flee the kingdom, and he went to his grandfather, who was the king of Geshur, and lived there for a while. Eventually, King David allowed Absalom to come back and live in Jerusalem, and Absalom returned to the city, and he actually, Absalom ended up leading a rebellion against his own father. And King David was forced to flee Jerusalem with his family in the middle of the night. And Absalom and David ended up going to battle. And Absalom was riding through a forest. And I read that passage about his hair so you could picture this, because as he was riding through the forest, scripture tells us that some translations say his head, others say his hair got caught in the tree branches. And he got caught, and his animal kept going, and he actually ended up hanging in the tree. And one of David's generals came along and saw him and took a spear and killed him. And so Absalom didn't live a peaceful life, even though that was the word that his father had spoken over him. And on paper, Absalom's life had great potential. He was born a prince. He was born into money and wealth and prestige. He would have been given opportunities in life. He was handsome. He had influence with the people. On paper, it seems like he had everything going for him other than some family drama going on in the background. And yet, Absalom didn't have legacy. In that passage, my life verse from 2 Samuel 18:18, it says that he had no sons to carry on the memory of his name. And what's interesting is if you go back a few chapters in 2 Samuel 14:27, it actually tells us that Absalom actually had 3 sons and a daughter. And yet Absalom, at some point in his life, made a decision that they weren't going to carry on the memory of his name. I mean, we don't know what happened to his children. Maybe they died young, but some theologians believe that it was probably because he hadn't invested in them and didn't trust that they were going to carry on his legacy. And so Absalom decided to build this monument. And when we think about the word legacy, Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines legacy as something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor or from the past. See, everyone has the potential to leave a legacy. Whether you have physical children or not, you still have opportunity to leave a legacy. Whether you're 12 years old or you're 32 or 52 or 102, I believe that God has a plan and a purpose for you to leave legacy. And the reason why this verse has meant so much to me over the years is that I don't want to be like Absalom. I don't want to come to the end of my life or come to a point in my life and say all I have for a legacy is what I've been able to build, this monument to myself, because I haven't invested in the generations to come. 24 years ago, I made a major career decision. And I've had young adults come to me and ask me, you know, how did you end up making that decision? I had an engineering degree and I was working as an engineer in Toronto. It was what I had always wanted to do with my life. It was kind of the career path I had picked for myself. I was a high achiever. I tended to be quite driven. God has worked on me in that area over the decades. But I made a decision to leave my engineering career and to go into full-time vocational ministry. And so I've had conversations with young people where they've asked me the question, how did you end up making that decision? You know, did God speak to you? You know, did you write it on the wall? And I was like, no. I just remember one day being at work, and it was off hours. I don't remember if it was the evening or if it was a Saturday morning or a weekend where I was in the office. And I remember being there and looking around the office at all the cubicles. And a bunch of my colleagues were in that day. There was probably some big project that we needed to get done. And I remember having this thought and going, is this really what I want to give my life for? At the end of my life, is this really all that I want to have done? Do I want to just be able to say that I worked hard and I made a lot of money and this is what I gave my life for? And I remember in that moment going, I don't want this to be my life. You know, looking at my colleagues that were, you know, 10, 20, 30 years older than me going, I don't want to spend my life doing this. I don't want to be an Absalom that has just been so focused on what can I build for myself that I don't invest in the next generation. And the decisions that I've made in my life and that I would challenge you to make in your life is, who are you investing in? You know, it's not just about your physical children, but who are your spiritual children? Who are the people that God has brought into your life that you're able to invest into? Last week, I was awoken in the middle of the night, and as I was lying in bed awake, I felt God speak to me for today, and he just dropped a word in my heart. And there is someone in the room today, there may be a few people in the room today, and you need to know that you're seen, that you're known, and that you're loved. In our world that is digitally connected, where we can be connected online, people are craving relationship. And there's someone here, and you need to know that you are seen by God. When you have felt like you're invisible, when you felt like no one notices that you're there, you need to know that God says, I see you. And for some of you, you need to know that you're known. When you felt misunderstood, when you felt no one knew your situation, where you have felt that no one gets you, God knows you. And for someone in this room, you need to know that you're loved. When you feel undeserving because of what you've done, when you think, if people really knew who I was, they wouldn't love me, you need to know that God loves you, that you are seen, you are known, you are loved. And for those of you in this room, and you know that you're seen, you know that you're known, you know that you're loved, then my challenge for you today is, who are you saying that to? Who are you leading to believe that they are known, that they are seen, and they are loved? Because life moves very quickly, and it's easy to be caught up in the day-to-day and everything that is happening and to be consumed by it. But I believe that God has called us to be legacy builders. And if we're going to be legacy builders with a legacy that lasts beyond our own days, we need to do it by investing in other people. We need to do it by pouring into those that God has brought around us so that we don't become Absaloms where at the end of our lives, all we have are what is stone. And it's interesting because you can go to the Valley of Kings today. It's located outside of Jerusalem. And there is a pile of rock that they believe could actually be Absalom's monument. But there's not a whole lot left of it. How much more value is there when we invest in people, when we take what God has given us, and you may think that it's not a lot. You may feel I don't have a lot to give. Your presence can make an impact in people. And so that is my challenge for you today. That's my life verse, 2 Samuel 18:18. It's a pretty obscure one. It's a pretty random verse to share with a bunch of ladies on a Mother's Day weekend. There is no female character in this story, but I believe that God is speaking to us today. And I believe that as we walk forward, I want you to be reminded of Absalom, that you don't become him, because I believe God has called us to more. And so I'd like to take a moment and just pray with you today. I really feel strongly that for those of you who are in here, you need to know that you are seen, you are known, and you are loved. That God, I believe that 24 years ago, God disrupted my life so that my life could intersect with yours today. You know, I'm crazy enough to believe that God values you so much that he would orchestrate and rearrange things throughout history so that we could be in this room, so that you could hear those words. And I also want to pray for you that as women, that we would live lives of legacy. You know, you may think I'm in the latter years of my life. You know, it's time for me to wind down. I believe as long as God has given you breath in your body, that there are women that you need to invest into. You may be in this room and you may be young and you're thinking, but you know what, I'm young. Who can I invest into? There are friends that you have at school. There are people in your neighborhoods that need to hear those words, that there's a God that loves them. And so as women together, we can be legacy builders and change destinies. Let me just pray. God, I thank you for the women that are here today. God, I pray for those that may have come and they needed to hear that they are seen, they are known, they are loved. God, because they have felt that they were alone, they have felt that they've been without value, they've felt that they've been misunderstood and misrepresented. God, I thank you that you are with them today. God, for those that are sitting here and they have felt like they haven't had anyone to pour into them and to invest into them, God, let them know that you are here. God, that you are everything that they have need of. And God, I pray for us as women, God, that we would be legacy builders, that we would take time and opportunity to invest into those that you've placed around us. God, that we would not become like Absalom. God, that would just build things that would wither away with time. God, that we would be women that would store up in heaven treasure, and we would do it by investing in people. God, even today, I ask that you would speak to women's hearts. God, give them specific people that they can pour into, that they can invest into. And so, God, I thank you that you have a plan and purpose for each of us. God, I thank you that we will be your legacy builders. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Well, aren't you glad 24 years ago that Pastor Kerry said yes? Amen. And we are the beneficiaries of that and so many more. Well, we are so glad that you have come today. But if you've missed this part, you cannot fulfill your legacy the way that God created it to be fulfilled. And that is, you can't disconnect from the Creator and yet fulfill the plan that the Creator has for you. So would you just bow your heads one more time? And just as Pastor Kerry has prayed for your destiny, and I pray that that word provokes your heart, reminds you of the incredible opportunities that you have every single day of your life. But I want to give you an opportunity that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you know about him, but you don't know him, then today you can change that. If you know him, but you don't live for him, if you believe in him, but you don't follow him, if you acknowledge him, but you're not able to receive the love that he has for you, you're missing out on the plan that God had for your life. And it's hard to run the race when you don't know where you're going. So if God has spoken to your heart this morning or just reminded you of what you've lost, or maybe you're running from, or maybe you've just haven't had a chance to run to it. But the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait for tomorrow. Today. Today God is calling your name. Today he's standing at the door knocking at your heart. So Father, I thank you that you know every woman by name. You know if they're walking with you or if they're walking away from you. You know if they are at your side or they have been so busy with everything else at their side that you've got lost in the shuffle. You know when you come through for them in a crisis, but when the crisis passed, so did their need for you. And today, you're putting them into remembrance that you're still here, that you still love them, that you still know who they are, and you're calling them again. The Bible says if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then today is your day for salvation. So would you pray along with me? Because you might have some ladies at your table that say, I need to pray that prayer. Today I need to make sure that I've made Jesus my Lord. Or maybe you're saying, I have lived far from him, but I want to come back into a right relationship with him. Maybe you're saying, I want to live with him, I just don't know how. And we'll connect you to some great churches that are in our area that will help you develop your faith in God. But whatever your place is, God can meet you there. And if you want to say yes to him, then would you mean this prayer as we all say it in our heart? God can define your voice between everybody else's. Just say, Father God, here I am. I'm coming to you. I confess with my mouth, you are Lord, your Savior. You came to die for me. You paid the price for my sin, so I didn't have to live far from you. And that when I take my last breath here, I take my first breath in heaven, because heaven now becomes my home. So forgive me of every decision, of every place I missed the mark, and I did not honor you with my choices. I didn't follow you in how I live my life. I've done things I'm not proud of. I've carried shame that I'm tired of. I want to be free today. So would you forgive me? And thank you for doing so. Would you heal and restore my heart? Would you fill the empty places in my life and help me live for you? Today is the day of my salvation. I am born again. I am saved. I belong to the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen.